Come on in. Welcome to church. It's good to see you all. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe and encouraged. And we're particularly mindful of those who may be listening to us online. But if you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. A little later in the service, the children will go off to Kids Church and join us later for the last song. For those listening in or visiting us, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to His Word in the Bible. And so we invite you to know God with us. Involved in our service today is Diane, who will be leading most of the service. Robin will read the set Bible readings to us. And our muses are Fiona, Rosemary and Linda. And I might join in on one of the songs after the sermon. Well, today we continue our Bible teaching through Luke's Gospel. We come to the end of Luke's Gospel. And the title for the sermon is Believe and Not Doubt. The theme throughout this sermon series has been that we might be certain of the things we have been taught. Our mission focus for May is particularly on the ministry to refugees, to the Blair family and the Rotundo family, and also we'll be thinking of those Anglican clergy who are involved in encouraging and supporting pastorally those in the police force, the police chaplains. Our very first song is Man of Sorrows, and our musos are going to sing that with us, and so I invite you to stand with me as we sing this very first song, reminding us of the goodness of God in Jesus.
Thank you.
pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for gathering us together this morning to encourage one another as we wait for the day when we see you face to face and you come and take us home. May what we do be pleasing in your sight, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to the person next to you and just say good morning. Welcome to church. It's great to see you. And the children may like to go off to kids' church now, and we'll see you a little bit later on in the service. Wonderful.
I'm glad that you've been able to join us today. I pray that you find encouragement through the songs, prayers, and Bible teaching that we will share. Let us draw near to God in his word. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Robin will now read today's passage for us.
Good morning. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading today is from Luke 24:33-53. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you, still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Robin. Would you turn with me in your Bibles, if you've not already got them open, to that passage there in Luke 24? Of course, I won't be putting the words back up on the screen. It's important that you open your scriptures and turn to that chapter. Someone might like to yell out the page number that you have for the Bible reading from Luke 24. It's a bit different to my Bible that's here. What number? 1060 in your Bibles, or you have it also in the handout, but there'll be some other little references to the chapter that I'll be referring to. Let me pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do not leave us with just coming up with ideas about who you are, though convenient that is for many. You have made yourself known to us in your Son Jesus, and you've granted us your Holy Spirit to believe the words that those who saw him, to believe them. And so, Father, help me now to teach those words correctly. And may your Spirit guide us into truth. Reassure us that we can be certain of the things that we have heard from them, that we have been taught concerning you and what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a familiar saying, seeing is believing. Heard that one? Very familiar passage, very familiar saying, isn't it? Seeing is believing. I may feel 35, but I just have to look into the mirror each morning and touch, and the truth is obvious. I am not 35, all right? Seeing is believing. Did you know that the longest word is 87 letters long? All right, apart from Linda, does anyone know where it's from, where it is? Let me show you. It's in New Zealand. And who'd like to print out? Who'd like to read it out? Maybe that's it. I don't know. But that's the longest word, is 85 letters long, and it's in New Zealand. Seeing is believing. And did you know that there is a monument? There is a monument, getting my directions right, in the middle of the Parramatta River to a famous rower, world famous rower, just opposite Abbotsford Wharf. All right, let me show you. All right, it's the of Henry Ernest Searle. All right, there it is. Oh, there's the picture of the longest word in the town. And here's the monument, and there's the man. And here's a fact you can share with your grandkids, your nephews, nieces, or the kids next door, or any kid that you might know. They'll be pretty impressed about this. But did you know that the hairy-nosed wombats are the only animal that poo cubes? Did you know that? Well, let me show you. Let me show you, all right? No, I'll spare you that. I won't show you that. There we go. There you go. It's up on the screen instead for you. Seeing is believing. Well, this morning we come to the last words of Luke's gospel, but they are by no means his last word. You see, Luke's gospel doesn't end here. I don't know if you know this, but his gospel continues into the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. The only reason the two books are separated is because all that Luke wanted to write could not be contained on one scroll. Luke and Acts are one writing, one work to the man by the name of Theophilus, that he and future readers like ourselves might be certain of the things that we have been taught, the things regarding Jesus, who he is and what he has done, who he is and what he has done for us. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save we who are lost. Now it's the third day, 3 days after Jesus had saved the lost by dying on the cross. The women had gone to the tomb but not found his body. They saw a vision of angels, you remember, messengers from God, and they had told them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Look there back at verse 5 in chapter 24. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here, the angels tell the women. He has risen. And they were told, to remember his words. Remember his words, the words spoken to them while Jesus was with them. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Remember his words. Well done, the women. The scriptures tell us, Luke tells us, that they remembered his words. They rushed off with excitement to tell the other disciples, but the men thought it was nonsense. Seeing is believing. But Peter, he dashes to the tomb to discover for himself. He looks into the tomb, look there at verse 12. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, but like the women, he found no body, but went away wondering what had happened. Despite the testimony of the women and what he saw, he still hadn't got it. He doesn't remember what Jesus had told him and the others when he was with them. To seek and to save the lost, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then, on the same day, later in the day, two of the disciples that had heard what the women and Peter had said, Cleopas and another, were on their way to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. While where all this had taken place, while they were wondering about what had happened, what they'd heard and hoped, Jesus actually came up and walked with them and engaged with them. How? Reminding them from the scriptures what God had said and promised in his word. Look there at verse 25. "How foolish you are," he says to them, "and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself, as told, as promised. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners. He must be crucified, and he must on the third day be raised again." But at this stage, they were kept from recognizing him, seeing and believing. Hearing God's word, being reminded of what God had said, promised, was more important for believing at this stage than seeing. Until a time of God's choosing, and then they recognized Jesus. Look there at verse 31. Their eyes were opened, the penny dropped, and they knew these two, who he was and what he had come to do. Jesus was reminding them to not base their belief on seeing, but on his words. And as if to reinforce this, look there at verse 31. Jesus doesn't hang around. He immediately disappeared from their sight. And it seemed to work for those two. When he disappeared, Luke doesn't record. They wish that they could see him again. I wish we could see him again. Did we really see him? It'd be good to see him again. Doubting if what they saw was true, he writes, they hold on to what Jesus had said to them to believe. Look there at verse 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They rushed back to Jerusalem. Verse 33, that late afternoon, early evening, found the 11 other disciples and the others and testified. They too agree with those they've heard have seen Jesus risen and alive. It's true. It's true, they say. The Lord has risen and appeared to Simon. And we pick it up at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood amongst them and said to them, peace be with you. Hello, g'day. You could imagine at that moment. Look there, let me read to you verses 37. They were startled and they were frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and ate it in their presence. The time came for the 11 and the others to see Jesus and believe. To see that Jesus had physically risen from the dead. He was no ghost. No apparition, no convenient theological explanation for the impossible, no lie. He was bodily alive and again with them. And this was important, not only for them, but for us also, that they did see Jesus, that they saw him. Why? Again, drawing them back to his word and reminding them that the base of their belief, their faith, is not on seeing, but on the promises of God in his word there. Look at verse 44. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could hope to see him again and have a miracle. No? What does it say? He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and will rise from the dead on the third day. Why? Verse 47. That repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, so that what Jesus had come to do, to forgive our sin, seek and save the lost, grant us friendship with God, peace with him, all people from all nations could hear and know the certainty of through them who had witnessed it. How? Verse 48. Look there. You, those men and women there, the men there particularly, you are witnesses of these things. Those who heard and saw, these disciples would be his witnesses to the truth. And they were to receive power from God to do it. Look there at verse 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit is what Jesus is talking about. God's presence and God's empowering to continue Jesus' ministry through them. But that's next week, right? And what we'll be hearing in the coming weeks, Lord willing, through the book of Acts. The time came for the 11 and the others to see Jesus alive, physically, before them and believe. To see that Jesus had physically risen from the dead, flesh and bones. He was no ghost, no apparition, no convenient theological explanation for the impossible, no lie. He was bodily alive again. And this was important for us, that they saw him, that they saw him. We believe because we have heard that those who had heard and saw believed. I'll say that again. We believe because we have heard that those who have heard and saw believed and have told us so. I don't know about you, but there are times when we wished we could see Jesus. Sometimes we might think we would be more blessed Christians, stronger in our faith, if we had a road to the Emmaus experience. If we were there and actually heard and saw what those first disciples did. But like Luke, Theophilus most likely had never seen the risen Jesus, never saw the empty tomb, heard the message of the angels, Jesus is not here, he has risen, nor the expounding of the scriptures by Jesus himself on the road to Emmaus, nor saw Jesus alive, touched and ate with him. But those who had taught him and Luke did. Seeing is not believing, Theophilus. Luke is ending his gospel with and reminding him. Nor for him too, nor for us. Believing now is remembering what God has said, what God has promised in his word through those whom God chose to see and believe, his witnesses. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe, Jesus said, all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then rise, enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. We believe because we have heard that those who had heard and saw believed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, remember, eventually, after reminding them to trust God at his word. Luke has told us that those disciples did see Jesus. And we too, who trust Jesus at his word, as they were meant to do, will one day, at a time of God's choosing, then see Jesus too. In the meantime, we trust God at his word to keep his promises. We can be certain of the things that we have been taught, like Theophilus could, and those first readers, because those who did see and did hear have taught us. Let me pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you will have given to your apostles to continue your Son's ministry now into the story that unfolds of yours in the book of Acts. We thank you that he guides us to trust you at your word, to keep your promises as you have up till now. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and sought the lost, us, and have saved us. Thank you that you've reminded us to not trust in that on the basis of sight, but on the basis of faith, of trusting you to keep your word. Forgive us for being foolish at times, looking elsewhere for evidence and reassurance than simply trusting in you who keep your promises. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We're going to now continue with our reading from Psalm 119, which actually refers a lot to the Word of God. Together. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Right, our next song is Where Else Have We to Go, which sounds quite appropriate, doesn't it? If we don't trust in God, where else do we have? So please stand and join in with this next song.
You understand that, can you hear me?
Yep,
not good. We understand that some of you may know this from a little while ago, others it might be new for you, so just join in as you feel that you can. And it reminds us that God's words are the ones that we need to go to if we are to reassure ourselves that we have eternal.
See?
has spoken to us all. Christ, the Word of God Himself, has been. Where else have we to go when You alone have words of eternal life? Where else have we to go when You alone have words of eternal life? Words of truth passed down to those entrusted few who witnessed and proclaimed Him Christ the Lord. We are their descendants. On us the light has dawned. Standing in the gospel we first heard. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Where else have we to go when You alone have words of eternal life? Where else have we to go when You alone have words of eternal life? Where else have we to go?
Please remain standing. We'll, as we join together in saying the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take a seat. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are Yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much for the privilege it is to pray and to know, Father God, that You listen to us and You hear our prayers and You answer them in a way, Father God, that is best for us and brings glory to Your name. We ask now, Heavenly Father, that You hear our prayers for those in authority, for those who exercise the laws and secure them in our country, for those involved in mission, for peace, for the spread of the gospel, for chaplains, and for the hearing of your word. Most gracious God, ruler of the nations, we pray for the parliament of this state and this commonwealth. In particular, we're mindful, Heavenly Father, of an election this month. Grant us wisdom. Direct and prosper all of the government's work to the advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of this country, Australia, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice may be established among us. A prayer for the spread of the gospel. We praise you, Lord of all, for the gifts of Christ, our ascended King, for the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Hear our prayer for all who do not know your love and have not heard the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Send out your light and truth through the messengers of your word. Help us to support them by our prayers and offerings and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God, we pray, Heavenly Father, that the words that we have heard today may be grafted in our hearts and that they bring forth in us the fruit of good works to the honour and praise of your name. Give us faith to receive your word daily whenever we read it, understanding to know what it means and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God our Father, you judge your people with wisdom, and you rule us with love. Give a spirit of understanding to the general synod that will soon meet, that it may make wise decisions, that it will give glory to you and be a blessing to your people. And grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God of the nations, whose kingdom rules over all, have mercy on our broken and divided world. Shed abroad your peace in the hearts of all people, and banish from us the spirit that makes for war, that all races and people may learn to live as members of one family in obedience to your laws. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of the Blairs and Rotundans as they seek to minister to refugees. We thank you for an opportunity to be mindful, specifically this month of May, of their work and to pray for them. We look forward to Cameron and his family joining us in a couple of weeks and to listen to what you've been doing through them. May their time with us be an encouragement to them as it will be to us. And make us truly thankful that we have all that we need. We also thank you, Heavenly Father, for those of our Anglican clergy who are chaplains to the police force. In those difficult situations, Heavenly Father, that they find themselves in often, grant them wisdom, a listening ear. May their words be such, Heavenly Father, that they bring light into the darkness of many a man and a woman's heart. Father God, we ask that you will protect our chaplains in the police force and that you'll grant to them the wisdom to be able to grant good advice. Hear our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And finally, Father, we pray for the courts this month, for those who make sure that our laws are kept, your laws. And we pray, Heavenly Father, particularly in the light of the laws that may or may not particularly change the things with regards to freedom of religion. And we do pray, gracious Father, that you grant to our courts and our governments wisdom in this regards. Would you join with me in a set prayer that's set aside today that Christ will give us a share in his glory one day when we see him? Together, God our Father, may we look forward with hope to our resurrection. For you have made us your sons and daughters and restored the joy of our youth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And so be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen. Thanks, Diane.
If you would like to look through the news and notes when you get home, just to remind yourself of the things coming up. Karen's going to come up in a moment and tell us about the EQUIP conference. But if you are a person who has been troubled or needs some prayer, we will have Fiona and Dick at the front of the church this morning who will love to pray for you and with you. So please make use of that if you're in need. So just look through the news and notes for the rest. Karen, thanks. Oh, you're going to jump in?
Jumping quickly, just before okay. Karen does. Oh, I just want to tell you. No, that's it. No. That's fine. Yeah. Yep. As mentioned in the Bible teaching time, we'll be continuing through Luke's work into the book of Acts in the coming weeks and through to this term. And I hope you'll enjoy that. You could read ahead for us if you like, but that's starting from next Sunday. And our guest speakers in May will be both the Blairs and Jessica coming to see us. So on the 15th and the 22nd of May, they'll come and join with us on those times. Also, men, on the 4th of June, we are having another men's breakfast. And so we hope you will join me for that morning and what we have in store. Over to you, Karen.
Good morning. I just wanted to draw your attention to an upcoming conference for women. It's called the EQUIP Conference. Many of us have attended in the past. It's been running for at least 20 years now. It's moved to live stream due to COVID, and that's been a great opportunity for us to gather as women together here at church and live stream here in the comfort without having to do public transport, which has been a great thing. This year, they are looking at the Book of Lamentations, so it will be a really interesting session of talks. So can I commend this conference to you? If you would like to join us here at church on the 18th of June for the day, please sign up at the back of the church. You need to register online. I can do that for you if that's helpful. It's $20. You have access to the conference then for a month after the talks if you want to re-listen. And a lot of people have actually done that because the talks have been so good and there's so much good information to process on the day. So please, can I commend that day to you? Speak to me if you'd like more information or go online and you can get more information there.
Plenty of opportunities to gather together and spend more time in fellowship, so that would be wonderful. We're going to finish with our last song, Yours Be the Glory, which is a bit of a classic, isn't it, this one? If you wouldn't mind, we can stand and join the singers. Please stand.
Thank you.
today you can take with you the great promise that we have been have had revealed to us through our study of Luke. And I also ask you to remember that you have that power available to you to understand the scriptures. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.